assume, for instance, that you're underneath that row of lights in your cell, which is outside, I believe you call the inspection area.
Yes, sir.
That correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, from that little inspection area, there is a camera, is that correct? A television camera?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right.
That points into Mr. Ray's cell. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, sir. Now, from where that camera is, to Mr. Ray's cell, is in your judgment, how far?
I said about 10 or 12 feet. This is an estimate.
Well, about where that camera sits to me.
Just a little bit farther, I imagine.
About a little bit farther?
Yes, sir.
All right. So the television camera's there and comes in. There's no solid wall between that camera or those lights between him and his cell. Is that correct?
No, sir. Just bars.
Just bars. And there's got to be light in this cell there for these television cameras to operate and be effective, is that correct?
There has to be some light,
yes, sir. That's all. Thank you. We're not going to offer any proof, any other proof at this time. I might make the observation to the court that we have available four or five of the guards that are assigned to the security detail. We don't, in substance, they would testify more or less what Captain Smith has.
We will stipulate to that effect, Your Honor, in the essence of time.
So we will not offer any further proof.
No, sir, Your Honor, no rebuttal.
All right, sir. Yeah.
All right, Your Honor, I will be very brief in this matter. My good friend, Mr. Dwyer, will perhaps try to read some of these motions that I didn't have, Your Honor. I never said or intimated at all in these motions that anybody had been eavesdropping on my conversation, or that anybody had been viewing my client through these monitor sets. I merely state, I think the proof is uncontradictory in this thing, Your Honor, that the presence of this illumination and surveillance, and indeed it's been stated here on authority that the lights are brighter than this, and the television cameras are on, and we state that this is an unwarranted and an undetectable opportunity for illegal identification and are lined up on the defendant for the purpose of refreshing or suggesting the recollection of the defendant, potential material witnesses in this call, Your Honor. And that's all we have alleged. We have not stated, nor alleged, that this man's privacy has been violated. We merely state that it could be, Your Honor. We think it's wrong and it ought to be correct. And, Your Honor, let me say this, that Captain Smith and his crew have been most courteous, most kind, and I meant to ask the captain, I believe, if I had, he said that I've been nice to them. And we have not had any troubles in that area, Your Honor. But, I feel that this is a serious matter here, Your Honor. And I feel like that the Constitution grants to all of us a very fine privilege and a great one, and one should be guarded, that is to a right to counsel. Now, I think that means a right to effective counsel. And to be effective, Your Honor, I think that there should be more of a presence, communication between a lawyer and his client than has been made available in this case, Your Honor. And we ask for relief, praise herein, or any other suggestions or relief which Your Honor may care to have.
thing in that from the proof developed here that the defendant has not carried its burden in any manner to sustain any of the allegations shown in the motion filed by him. Counsel states, and proven through his witness, Sheriff Morris and Captain Smith, that none of these men have interfered in any way with counsel's right to confer with his client, as guaranteed by the Constitution. Counsel himself says that he's not intimating that anybody has been eavesdropping. He's saying in substance to the court that there's a possibility that these TV receiving sets could be used in some illegal means to identify rape. Now, court, please, no proof to sustain any contention of that nature before the court at this time. And as we have said in our answer, that if such a situation came to pass, we feel and believe that this court would call out any kind of identification made under those circumstances in keeping with the Wade and Gilbert cases enunciated by the Supreme Court of the United States. Might add also, if the court pleases, if the lying condition up there has been developed by the proof offered here and uncontested, that the regular, if you may refer to them by that name, let's say the other prisoners, they had more penal power, according to Captain Smith, who Mr. Haynes says, very fine gentleman, and I do also, said there's 14 cal power in their cell block as opposed to 9 in rape. Been no complaint made by Mr. Haynes to the sheriff, or Ray, or by Ray to Captain Smith, about the life and uncontested in the record through Captain Smith that the defendant Ray is averaging better from his log to the cap, better than 8.5 hours sleep a night, and according to Captain Smith, more sleep than he gets. Now, Your Honor, I'm kind of hazy as to the communication from the defendant Ray, written communication, from the defendant Ray to his attorney, Mr. Haynes. And as I understand, Captain Smith said that they look at it, but they don't read it. Now, under the law, the sheriff is charged with the security and maintaining the security of that jail. And he's given the right by statute in the state. By statute to censor mail coming in and going out to see that there's nothing in there that might threaten the security that he's charged with maintaining. And I feel, Your Honor, been developed, they don't read it, they look at it. And I feel with the security that is surrounding this man, that written material from Ray to Mr. Haynes, the sheriff has the duty and the right under the law to read that. I'm asking the court to issue an order along those lines, and that's in keeping with the security imposed upon the sheriff by law. I feel rather strongly about that, court pleases. I feel all these security measures go down the drain. They don't know what this man is saying to Mr. Haynes by right. Not impugning Mr. Haynes in any way. They search me when I come in this courtroom. I've been around here 17 years. Now I feel as we're concerned with security. like to know what this man is putting in written material going out of this jail. Now, if the court instructs the sheriff under the law, he has the right to do that. But that should be read and not just looked at for diagrams and things of that nature.
You have any authority for that?
With the Tennessee Code, if the court pleases, statute number 41-323 says, since a ship of mail, information furnished friends concerning convicts, all letters sent to or from any convict shall be first read by the warden or his assistant. And if nothing is contained therein promotive of crime or unsafe to the institution, may be mailed or delivered if the convict directs. Yes.
Everything about notes from the defendant to his lawyer.
Now, Your Honor, we've gone into this to some extent. We have James G. McCloskey versus the State of Maryland.
What's the citation?
This is 357 Federal Reporter 2nd. Page 73, if the court pleases. This in substance says that the prison officials are charged with the duty to censor mail coming in and going out.
This is a prison.
And the court shouldn't interfere with this right, if the court pleases, unless it's clearly shown that there's some abuse of the constitutional guarantee of the defendant.
This is prison authority.
Yes.
Now,
Your Honor,
this is not anybody having to get ready for a trial and having his lawyer.
No, we have not found that, John. We have not found that. Now, I might cite others. If the court wants me to stop there, I have to stop if that's all the court's seeking.
You can give me any law you've got.
But in answer to the court's inquiry of me, no, sir, we do not have. These are all like addicted people.
I think I ought to tell you this, that I'm of the opinion of the law I've read, that the right of counsel includes the right for a private counsel. And I think there's no distinction between oral and written words. I don't think they should overhear what Mr. Hands and Mr. Ray have to say between each other. I see no distinction between oral and written words, except this. I think that the sheriff's guards would have a right to make a cursory examination of any papers that Mr. Ray hands to Mr. Haynes to see that it's not for some letters to be mailed outside. It's not the fact that Mr. Haynes, that you are not trusted, it's the fact that nobody is trusted.
Right.
Unless security is absolute, I mean, if it's got a hole in somewhere, it's no security at all. So I think the papers that Mr. Ray hands you, and you go up there and confer with him, if he's written something that he wants you to have, I think that the guard should examine that to see that it's all just written material that he's written out there, but I don't think they should read it.
At the court's ruling, we differ, but we abide.
Well, if you can show me any law that distinguishes written words from oral words, as far as the prisoner and his counsel are concerned, I'd be glad to consider it.
Donna, bear with me, but would the court consider from prisoners in the
there's a distinction between someone
who's
convicted.
I do not.